Well, again, my name is Chad Robinson, my wife Heidi, and we're with Bearing Precious Seed out of First Baptist Church in Milford, Ohio, so not too terribly far away, and so it was a quick trip to get up here the other day. But first of all, thank you so much for what you guys have been able to accomplish and helping us get the Word of God out. We have in front of us here 25,000 copies of the Word of God that are going to be going to Ukraine. And this is the beginning of a 500,000 that we printed. And so it takes churches like yours to partner with us to get this done. Not only the manpower, but also helping us covering the cost of the scripture. You know, paper gets expensive and things like that. So we're grateful for your help. And we certainly had a good time. Did you guys enjoy yourselves? Are you sure? Okay, all right. Because you look like you enjoyed yourself, so I just was making sure. So again, thank you for that. This morning, I do want to just take some time this morning and share a little bit with you about the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed and Seed Line and how that all works. First of all, let me tell you a little bit about myself as well. My wife and I, we've been married for 30 years. We've been in the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed now for 11 years. In fact, this week we celebrate our 11th anniversary in the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. And we're excited to just continue to serve them, especially in this ministry of Bearing Precious Seed. We love it. That's where God has called us to. We pray that God would call more people to this ministry as well. We have three daughters, two son-in-laws, and most importantly, we have four grandchildren and one on the way, okay? And so that's our family. It's a little bit about us. Before I was in the ministry, I worked for a company called Walmart. Maybe you've heard of them before. I worked for them for 20 years. In fact, 20 years and one day I worked for them. I was a store manager for Walmart. Ran a Walmart store. Enjoyed it. Loved to do it. In fact, my pastor... We lived in Pennsylvania at the time, Western Pennsylvania. My pastor was the one that invested in me, and so I spent a lot of time with him, and so I did a lot of the same things he did. And so, you know, I would go to hospital visits and things like that with people in our church and things like that. And so when I got back to my store, that's what I did. If people were out sick in hospital, I would do that and pray with them, things like that. And so I enjoyed it. It was a good opportunity to be able to be a witness to people and serve the people in that capacity. But we're so grateful to be in this part of the ministry now full time. God really pressed on our hearts very hard about going into full time ministry, and I'm grateful for it. In fact, last year, our church, during our missions conference, they wanted to do a testimony of a video, I'm sorry, of the testimony how God called us into the ministry. And so we did it and had to do some acting in it too, kind of like going back in time and replaying things. And that was a little bit awkward, but I said, can we just title this, if God can use this guy, he can use anybody? Because that's just how I feel. And but I'm grateful that God can use me, and he can use any of us if we allow him to do that. And this morning, again, I just want to talk a little bit more about the ministry, Bearing Precious Seed. And I need to start, first of all, I feel like a little bit why we do what we do. You know, there's companies that print that we could use. There's even... companies that print Bibles, you know, and so you might just say, why don't we just raise the money and let them do the printing? Well, let me just very quickly share. I want to take some time in our Bible this morning, and then I want to take some time and just share you a little bit about the ministry and how it operates and how it works and those type of things. Okay, so trying to get a lot in this morning, but... let's start with this. If you would open up your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We're going to look at least in Sunday school this morning, we're going to kind of be all over the place in our service. We'll be in the same spot. So you can try to keep up or just listen this morning when you go to each verse. But I want to look at this verse this morning in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Paul said this, he said, "But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts." And so we can look at that verse this morning and we can see that, one, that God allows us to be a part of what he's trying to accomplish, but also he's put us in trust with the gospel, this message, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, that as Christians that we have been put in trust with that. So we have that responsibility. We can see that as Paul says that here in the New Testament. And as he says that, obviously, we have the gospel, we have the word of God written for us. And thank God for that. Thank God that we have the word of God in our language. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I have the word of God in my language. And, you know, as we talk about printing and allowing other people to print it, well, the difference is the book that we are printing is different than any other book. This book has this book has distinction to it. And so if you would, turn with me to John chapter 5, and we'll look at some of these things briefly here this morning. John chapter 5 and verse 24, the Bible says this, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath what? Hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." And I look at that verse, and we could, if we had time, we could look at other verses, but when I look at that verse, it tells me that the word of God is very distinct. One of the things is that it gives life. The word of God gives life. The other thing I want us to look at is in 1 Peter 1, chapter 23. 1 Peter, if we would turn back to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 1, verse 23, it says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And again, if we look at these two verses, some of the distinctions of the scriptures is this, is one, that it gives life, and secondly, it is eternal. You know, with us yesterday, I had said that. I said, if we're going to invest in two things in this world, one is the word of God and the souls of men, because those two things are the things that last forever. Those things are eternal. And so there is something distinct about this book, these scriptures that we spent time laboring over. So there's something different about this book. It's distinct. The other thing I want us to look at this morning is in Psalms 138. Psalms 138. Psalms 138, probably a very familiar verse to a lot of us. But in Psalms 38, verse 2, it says, "I will worship toward the holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. And for thy house," it says this, "magnifying thy word above all thy name." Now, if you read that, that's quite a statement. That's quite a statement from God. I'm sure your pastor or you've heard somebody at some point teach on the names of God and all those names and how they really tell us who God is and what he's about. And God's saying here, he says, I put my word above my own name. And so, not only is there something distinct about the scriptures, but there's something distinguished about the scriptures, that God desires his word to be above his own name. The third thing I want us to look at briefly is this, is that there's a divine plan for the scriptures. There is something that God has a plan for his word. He always has had a plan for his word. And I don't want to take the time to look at all of these verses, but if we went through the gospel records, especially you see a lot of it in the book of Matthew, that you would see Jesus say, have you read or have you not read? And you would see that repetitively through there. And so you could see that God has a desire for his word to what? To be read. He wants it to be read. Not only does he want it to be read, but he wants it to be published. He wants it to be published. That word published means to put it down on paper, or it also means to speak it forth by mouth. Psalm 68:11 says, the Lord gave the word, great was the company of those that published it. Again, that word company means a called out chosen assembly. That means there is a specific people that he desires to do that. He's got a specific people in part of his plan to get his word published. And so, again, he wants his word to be read. He wants it to be published. And, of course, he wants it to what? To be propagated. He wants us to go out and take it out and to share it with people. And we could see that in all of the in the Great Commission, in all the verses, you know, Matthew 28 and Mark 16 and Acts 1:8, we see that God has a desire for his word to be propagated. And so God, in doing his plan, he's had a specific program or a divine program to get that accomplished. Even before now, he's always had a plan. He's always had a specific people to do that. If you would, turn to me in the Old Testament, go to Numbers chapter 4. In Numbers chapter 4, in verse 4, we see the Kohathites here. It says in verse 4, it says, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. It says here about the most holy things. The most holy things. When something is holy, it is separated from everything else. This book we have, the Bible, the Holy Bible. Again, it's a book of distinction. It's something different. In the Old Testament, the priest had the responsibility of handling the holy things. And so we could see here that the holy hands handled the holy things. Can I tell you, yesterday, that's what happened. A specific people, God's people, handled the holy things. In the Old Testament, God not only had the priests handle the holy things, but also, turn with me to Deuteronomy 17. Deuteronomy 17. In Deuteronomy 17, we see that not only the priests had a responsibility, but also the kings had a responsibility. The kings had a responsibility, and we see that here. In verse 18, we'll start in verse 18. It says here in Deuteronomy 17, verse 18, and it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And so we could see that they had a responsibility to write a copy of the law. And then it goes on in 19 and says, and it shall be with him and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And so they had a responsibility to read it as well. And that he may learn to fear the Lord his God and to keep all the words of this law and these statutes. And then lastly, it says this, and to do them. And so we see that the priests and kings had a responsibility when it came to the holy things and to the word of God. Now, if you would, turn with me to Revelation. Revelation, chapter 1. I wish we had more time to look at this morning, but I want to share more with you. In Revelation, chapter 1, we'll start in verse 5. The Bible says this, says, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. And then verse 6 says this, says what? Says, and hath made who? Made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And so through Jesus Christ, he's made us the kings and priests today. And with that, you know, has come many rights that we have, right? There's many privileges we have as Christians today because of Jesus Christ and what he gave for us. We have the rights as royalty, if I could say it that way. You know, we have the opportunity to boldly come to the Lord, to the throne. We are joint heirs with Jesus. We have the promises as his children that we could look at Scripture and lean on. And so, you know, we have those rights as royalty, as his children. But also that comes with the rights is also this, comes responsibility. The responsibility, and one of those responsibilities is to take care of his word, to preserve his word. You know, as we look in the scripture here and we look at these things, if we had time, we could look at it more. But, you know, to me, I've always been a common sense type of a person. And common sense to me says that God's people should take care of God's word. Somebody told me that once, and that just made sense, that God's people should take care of God's word. That should be responsibility. Why would the lost world, why would we give that responsibility to the lost world to print it and to preserve it and obviously to propagate the word? Why would we give those responsibilities to them? Of course, it doesn't make sense. And then lastly, I want us to look at Ezekiel chapter 44. And what I want to look at here in Ezekiel chapter 44 here is a mishandled responsibility. A mishandled responsibility. I would love to go through verse 1 through 8, but I want to start here in 6 this morning for sake of time. It says here in Ezekiel 44 in verse 6, it says, "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your," what's that word there? Abominations. That's a big word. That's something that we shouldn't take lightly when we see that word. In verse 7, it says this, says, "In that you have brought into my sanctuary," the word there is strangers. Strangers. When it's talking about strangers in the Bible, it's talking about those that aren't the children of God, those that are lost people, and those that aren't saved. Those are the strangers. And it says that they have allowed them into their sanctuary. It goes on in the verse, it says, "In that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart, uncircumcised in flesh, to be in my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when you offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations." In verse 8 it says this, "And you have not kept the charge of mine holy things." That tells us this, that they didn't take their responsibility seriously. They weren't worried about that they had given that responsibility to somebody else. They were content with that, even though God said it was, what, an abomination. It goes on to say this in verse 8. It says, "And you have not kept this charge of mine holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourself." So not only did they allow others to take on the responsibility, they were okay with it. They were fine with it. They were okay that they could, somebody else could do the task that they were responsible to do. And so, again, we were given that responsibility as God's people to take care of his word. to preserve his word. And again, you might say, Brother Chad, that is it really that big of a deal? Well, I would say yes, because there's consequences of it. And if I could just share just a few of those consequences is this. One, you know, that we have so many perversions of the Bible these days and things that we have to work through, even with the English text and things like that. And I believe a lot of that has to do because God's people haven't always taken care of God's word. And to be honest, even more importantly, there's still thousands of people groups that don't have a Bible today. Because why? Because God's people have not taken their responsibility seriously. And so those are the consequences of God's people not taking care of God's word. Did you know this, that 80% of the Bibles today are printed in a country that I couldn't send a Bible to? Now, does that make sense? 80% of the Bibles today are produced in China. Now, I say that not to make it like a Made in America thing. In fact, if there was a First Baptist Church of Beijing and they printed the Word of God, I'd be the first one to buy it. That would be amazing. That would be awesome. But unfortunately, that's not the case. And so the Bible itself is the most printed book in the world. But the majority of it's printed for one thing, and that's this. It's because of money. It has nothing to do with being obedient to God. It has nothing to do with about being concerned about the souls of men. And so we need to take that responsibility back. We need to continue to be a part of that. You know, as Christians, we understand our need to provide the messenger, but we also need to provide the message as well. And again, talking about giving that responsibility to the world to print, not only does China print 80% of the Bibles, but printing companies that you would be familiar with, like Thomas Nelson and I can't think of the name of it right now. Thank you, Zondervan. They're actually owned by the same company. And that same company actually owns part of Fox News and a lot of the other media networks, and part of Hollywood. And so basically, we've given that responsibility to the news media in Hollywood to preserve the Word of God. And so those are the reasons why we do what we do. I also want to kind of share with you a little bit about that ministry. And so some of the things that I shared with you from the Word of God are some of the things that were shared with a man by the name of Don Frazier. I think, Miss Sloan, you know, you met Brother Frazier. Did I hear that right? And so I never got an opportunity to meet him, but I wish I did. This man by the name of Don Frazier went around the country and kind of put the burden in the hearts of pastors all across this country. And one of those men that got that burden was Dr. Charles Keene, was our pastor in Milford over 50 years ago. And Brother Frazier came through, and Dr. Keene really got the heart for that. And so we started printing there. We started printing on a small press. I know many of you, how many of you have been to Milford before to the print shop? So several of you have been there before. And so you've seen the small printing press that they started with many years ago in our museum there. And so they started printing the Word of God there. And through the years, God has provided equipment in many ways. It's been amazing to see how he's provided that equipment. It's always been in a way that you can always just give him the glory for it, that's for sure. God has continued to grow the ministry and continue to not only give us the right equipment to print more, but also to churches to be able to give more, to give towards paper and to get involved in Seed Line. And our Seed Line ministry really started 20-some years ago. It started because there was a missionary in Mexico that requested 1 million John and Romans. And, of course, we only have a couple guys in the print shop there, a few guys in the print shop. And so they weren't able to, they could do all the printing there, but all, as far as all of the assembly, all the binding, was going to take a lot more work. And so they asked four churches if they could bring some of the equipment to these churches and just do, assemble them there. And from there, that kind of started this ministry of Seedline, basically a line of churches that help us get out the Word of God. And it has really grown into one of the major parts of our ministry. Now, we print whole Bibles, New Testaments, and in John and Romans. We also print in over 70 languages now. But each part of that, our ministry is a little bit different in how it works. And so our whole Bibles, you know, that takes a lot of funding for rolls of paper to print whole Bibles. A whole Bible costs about $3.50 for a paperback one. A hardback Bible is about $5 to $6 a piece. Our New Testaments are about $1.25, $1.50. Sometimes we can do them for about $1 to run. And all of that comes through what's called National Bible Publishing Month, where we ask churches to help us. Within their church, they have like a paper drive, so to speak, where they raise money specifically for paper for Bibles. And so when that money comes in, that's all that money goes towards. A roll of paper is about $750 a roll. Between that and a little bit higher, depending on the time when we can buy it. And so we can print about 400 whole Bibles or 1,800 New Testaments with one roll of paper, to give you an idea about that. And so that's how that works. And then also, that's how the funds come in for our whole Bibles and New Testaments. And then when they get, you know, when we were able to assemble the John and Romans, we didn't have to do any collating. It all ran on one swipe. But of course, when we run whole Bibles, there's a lot of collating involved. There's about 18 to 21 signatures typically for a whole Bible. And so it takes a lot more effort to do that. And so we have a big binder in the print shop that does that, and it takes several volunteers that come in and help us fill the pockets, and the machine collates it together and puts the glue on and puts the cover on. And so that takes a lot extra time to do that and extra space to do that, obviously. And so we do all that there in the print shop, and it would be hard to take to bring all that in to do the collating and to deal with the glue binder. Here, we actually have done it before. We actually have some churches that are set up to do it, but it's definitely a lot more involved process, and you don't get as many people involved in it as well. And so that's how we get out the whole Bibles and New Testaments. And then, of course, John and Romans, which obviously is a great evangelistic tool. John and Romans cost about 15 cents to print. And so just being good stewards, you know, starting with that, helping a missionary get those to him first is a big help as an evangelistic tool, and coming back with whole Bibles after that in New Testaments. And, of course, the churches are helping us cover the cost of all those, John and Romans. They're also helping us assembling all those. And so as of now, we have probably about 240 churches involved in the ministry of Seedline. And a good portion of those churches are involved just like your church is, where myself or one of the other representatives would come out and lead the projects. We'd bring all the equipment. We'd bring all of the signatures and covers and all that. And we'd take a couple days to assemble them. And we have churches that do as little as 10,000. And we have, we just had our biggest project we've ever had. A couple weeks ago, we did 400,000 in a week. Yeah, that's why I said, whew. That's a lot. That's not common, so don't get worried like you're, it's fine. You guys did a great job. And so, and to be honest, that is really what our Sea Lion churches are made of churches that do, you know, right around where you guys did, and doing what they can. And at the end of the year, just like last year, because of churches like yours, we end up doing 11.2 million copies of Scripture just through our Sea Lion churches. And we give God all the glory for that. But we're so grateful, too, for our Sea Lion churches that help us do that. Now, we do have some churches, like I mentioned, most of them we call it the project level, where we come and bring everything and set up, come once a year. Then we also have churches we call the planted level, where the church decides to take on more responsibility, and so we help them get their own equipment. We help them get their own staplers. We help them get their own trimmer, and the church comes up with a budget on their own to get Scripture from us all year round to do it. And so we have a lot of churches like that too, as well. And so, and then we have a few churches that, it's called the partnering level. So it's to be like a church that has really, and this is a part that we're really trying to grow, is where there's a guy in a church that the church itself, it's their own ministry. They have invested in their own truck and trailer and their own equipment and a guy in their church to go out in their area and work with churches. And so right now we have a guy that's in, he's out of a church in Cobleskill, New York, and he handles a lot of the churches in the Northeast. We have a gentleman that is in Tennessee that works in mostly Eastern Tennessee and part of North Carolina. And then we also have a gentleman that works, that's out of a church in Augusta, Georgia. And so he works with churches in South Carolina, Georgia, and some in Florida. And then we just recently, one of the guys that we, well, Brother Gil that was here before with you, him and his wife just moved to Michigan to do this at their church. And so as the ministry has grown over the years and churches are getting involved, you know, for one guy, 30-some churches is plenty for one person to take care of. And it really, probably the past several years, as social media has grown and churches are looking at other churches, what they're doing and things like that, it's really grown in interest of Sea Lion. We don't go out and promote Sea Lion. Like, I never go to a church and present it for a church to take on. It's always word of mouth, those type of things. But as it's grown, instead of really, to me, instead of a guy being over a region, we could really have a guy per state. And I had a burden for that. And the church that just did the 400,000 is in Michigan. So obviously, they, not only do they have the heart for it, but they have the resources to do a lot. And so I had been praying, and a couple years ago, I talked to the pastor there about praying about taking this step, you know, just being a church that would just take care of the state of Michigan. I looked it up. There's 200 and some independent Baptist churches in the state of Michigan. And so even if a fraction get involved, that's plenty to keep one person busy. And so he was praying about it. We were going back and forth. And so he decided, he said, I'd love to do this. I just need the man. And Brother Gil and his wife, they decided to praying about. And so they've moved there. They've got things going there in Michigan. And things are going well there. And so this, some of the churches that I was going to Michigan, that freed me up to go to some other churches. But if you would, just pray really for more men in the ministry, specifically with us and Sea Lion. It's getting close to the point where I might have to tell churches I can't come, and that would be terrible because there's so much that needs to get accomplished. There's so many more people that need the Word of God. And so if you would, I'd appreciate if you make that a matter of prayer, that we could get more men and more churches involved in those ways. So if you would, pray about that. We ship Scripture, obviously, in different ways. When we send Scripture down to Mexico, we send it by truck. When we send Scripture overseas, we're either doing it by with crates, or sea containers. And so when we fill a whole sea container, we don't fill a 40-foot container, we fill a 20-foot container because we run out of weight before we run out of space. Obviously, paper weighs a lot. And so if we're sending just a container of Scripture to a missionary, of just John and Romans, it would look something like about 300,000 to 350,000 John and Romans on a container that we could send them. And you know, part of our desires, too, is that we would be able to send that to them with no cost to them with that. And then we work with other ministries to help us with the shipping cost. With that, there's other ministries that focus just on raising funds for shipping, and so we partner with a lot of them. Sometimes the missionaries have, they've worked with their supporting churches to gain some of that shipping cost as well. And so that's how the shipping side of it works. Many times the missionary wants to keep the container. And so what I want to do too as well, I was hoping to give some time just for questions about the ministry. So anybody have any questions about the ministry of Bearing Precious Seed or Seed Line, how we do things, or yes, ma'am? Okay, that's a great question. This particular project we're working on with Ukraine, there is a there's Ukrainians that are in, actually in Columbus, Ohio, that are able to get everything shipped for us. I believe a lot of it's on, actually a lot of it's by plane, which surprisingly I'm not sure how they do all that because Scripture by air is very expensive. We only ever have to do that with, like, when it comes to, like, the Middle East or something like that, and it's very expensive. And so what we'll do is once we get about 100,000, we'll send them up there. And once we get about 200,000, well, once we get about, for this particular project, once we get about 100,000, then they'll start working it in. I think they kind of work it in on planes, like freight planes, that they have access to do that. And so it'll be kind of trickling in. And then unless there's an opportunity for us to ship it by container, which we could by the end of the project, by the end of the half a million, and then what we've done in the past is we'll ship it, actually you'll ship it to Poland, and then it goes to a warehouse in Poland, and then from the warehouse in Poland, it'll get trucked into Ukraine. But a lot of these will probably go through Columbus and go by air and go directly into to Ukraine. So, and then as far as distribution goes, Brother Shane, there was a video that I sent you of some Scripture being handed out. If you could show that. And a lot of what they're doing is different ways.
Це Олексієва Дружківка. 7 кілометрів від Дружківки. Це селище, десь приблизно 7 тисяч населення. Зараз, звичайно, менше. Біля церкви роздаємо допомогу, яку отримали від від міжнародного гуманітарного хабу Рівне за сприяння Рівненської міської ради.
In the back of that van, there's
volunteers who give людям цю допомогу.
Gospel bag, so it has scriptures, and it also has.
Спасибо большое. Дякуємо, слава Богу.
And I know that they're looking at. I guess they've already.
Так,
been
вони не роблять, не де, завод закрили. Добре.
Working with some bakeries.
Сердечно благодарим за угощение, за помощь.
Слава Богу, дякую.
Будь ласка, акуратно, нехай у вас не валяється. Він хоче нам
допомагати. And people are just saying you, they're saying it in Ukraine, they're thankful for the.
Хто хліб є фізичний, це
хліб.
Ви дуже добре організовували.
Євангеліє від Івана, то послання до Івана.
Дякуємо. Слава Богу. Сестру можна отримати, бо вона не прийшла сьогодні. Вона уроки займається з дітьми. Там маленький ребеночок
просто. Since the war has happened, it's completely different. Obviously, as I mentioned the other day, the reality of eternity you know, obviously very real to them, and so so their thought process is a little bit different right now. So I'm sure there'll be scenes just like this one with these scriptures right here get distributed out. So yes, sir. We print in just over 70 different languages right now. And some of those languages aren't complete whole Bibles. I know we sent scripture over 100 languages. I don't know the exact number. The translations we use are always from the received text, you know, where King James Bibles are from. We don't translate from the King James Bible, we use the received text what the King James is from. And so there is when somebody gives us a new translation to print as well, it kind of has to go through a background check, and then also goes through some back checks where they go back and check certain scripture. And it's also not uncommon for a first edition to go out and they'll find a few things, and it'll have to come back and get redone as well. We work with nationals. This Ukrainian project was a national that did this translation work. We do a lot with Trinitarian Bible Society. We trust them and what they do. And then there's a few missionaries that we work with, American missionaries. So, any other questions? No other questions. All right. Well, yesterday I also shared a story about Ukrainian New Testaments and the yellow paper. Anybody remember that story and how God worked all that out? We were able to, we were just buying yellow paper because it was cheap and that's all we could find. And we didn't know how we were going to use it, where we were going to use it. And of course, the war broke out in Ukraine and they needed New Testaments. And of course, their colors are yellow and blue, and so we printed blue covers for that. And I found a picture last night of the yellow. Do you have that picture of the press? Yes. There's a bright yellow paper there on the web press, and so that was different to see in the print shop like that. I didn't know if we were printing phone books or what we were doing. It's exciting to see God use it, and they were obviously excited to. The people there were excited to get them like that as well. And so, but Shane, you can show some of those other pictures. These other pictures here are soldiers receiving Ukrainian John and Romans. These covers are a little bit different. Obviously, the signatures are the same on the inside. We did a specific cover for the soldiers at the beginning, and now we just switched it to just all these are the same. Many of them, they asked if we showed it somewhere that we'd blur out their faces because some of them are not able to accept these there. So, but many are excited. I know I had more pictures to show you. I had some with people stuffed in their plate carrier and things like that. It was pretty neat to see. And Brother Ron Jackson, the gentleman that's overseeing this project, he has sent me all kinds of videos and shared all kinds of testimony how God has worked through these John and Romans. And so there'll be men just like this that receive these scriptures and families that desperately need it, that receive these scriptures just like we saw in the video there. And so, any other questions? Yes, sir. How many people? It depends how fast we want to run the press. We could go through a roll in about 10 minutes if we wanted to. And that big press, so we have two big web presses. One's called a 4-web, one's called a 6-web. The one with the yellow paper on it was a 6-web. So that means there's 6 roll stands that hold paper. So there's 2 rolls for each roll stand. So when one roll goes out, it splices into the next roll. That's because there's 6 towers that print at the same time. And so when it's cranked up, that They can print around 70,000 John and Romans an hour. And so it takes a lot of... So if you really want to keep it going, and we don't have the guys, again, to do the capacity what we could do. But if we do have the guy, we could have a guy on each roll stand switching out rolls of paper. It would take a couple guys to keep the printing adjusted up by the towers, and then at least one guy staying really busy grabbing those bundles off the end of the press. And so, and that's just one press. And so there's other, you know, the covers need printed, the binding needs done, and so all these things, we would love to have all of these equipment running at the same time that we could get more done, but we're just utilizing the resources, the men we have. And so a lot of times that's what it is. This is what we're doing today. We're going to run this. We're going to run a lot of these today, and then we're going to move on to the next thing tomorrow. So, yes, sir. We just lost a guy, yes. He went to, a young man decided to go serve in the military, so which is good, but we liked him where he was serving in the print shop as well. So, all right. Any other questions? All right. Well, let's close it in prayer. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for yourself. Thank you for your goodness and grace, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity and privilege we have to be in your house this morning, and thank you for the time in Sunday school this morning we've been able to have. Lord, I pray, God, that you would bless the rest of our time, Lord, the next hour, Lord, that, God, that you would be pleased with what's going to be happening, Lord, that we would come with a mind to worship you and to serve you, Lord. And that you would be pleased again with everything that's going to happen. And that if anybody comes today that doesn't know Christ as Savior, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, Lord. God, help us to, again, just do our part in getting this precious word all around the world. Help us to take on that responsibility that you've given us and not give it to those that we're trying to get it to, Lord. We ask that you're glorified in all these things. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.